Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future. Got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills tight. Future stars, destined for the fame. In the ring, they'll carve their name. Blood, sweat, tears, the unending game. Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim.
Hey, everybody. Matt Michaels on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. All right, Joe. So, 4th of July is over, and it's full steam ahead for the next couple months, huh?
Yeah, we got Future Shock this tomorrow. And then we're back at the HyperX for Capital Punishment. But the subtitle is the Joe DeFalco Birthday Bash, of course, since my birthday will be the 26th. So the best way to, support is to come out and support.
Are you going to stretch the show past midnight so that it officially at midnight the balloons drop? And
no, then everybody would be crying because they had to pay for the parking. So,
all right, yeah. all right, well, you know what? Let's go to that 4th of July. How did everything go with Liberty Mayhem?
Well, you know, the show went pretty well. I guess I overestimated what free tickets would do on the 4th of July. You know, we did all right, but I expected the place to be packed. But I guess a lot of people had other plans. And instead of a free ticket, they decided to barbecue or whatever because they couldn't do fireworks. Show was at 5. It was over before, 7:15. So right. It was still light out. But, obviously a lot of people had plans. But our hardcore regulars, stretched, through the heat, right. And got to see some good wrestling.
What was your overall opinion on how the show went for the guys? Because that was a really a solid card.
Yeah, I'll give that one a solid B. Like, everything was pretty good. I don't think there was like, oh man, this is a match of the year, but I think all the matches told their story. I thought they were solid. We had some interesting matchups. It's always difficult when you got the baby face versus the baby face, which we had twice. Right. Live Danger against the Mariachis, as we're trying to establish Live Danger. Mariachis are the most popular team we got, so it was hard for them. And then between Maserati and Veronica Haven, Maz is the OG of the women's division, and the former Fallon Gray has gotten a really strong following, and then getting ID'd has kind of elevated her even more. Even though she's still very, very young in her development as a wrestler. But, sure. As I always said to her from day one, not being mean, but, she was pretty atrocious at that first Future Shock show. And sure. To see where she's come, and it wasn't like 4 years ago, you know what I mean? And it was like she's really improved tenfold in there. So that was a great opportunity for her. Even though she's ID'd and she's part of WWE, Maserati is head and shoulders, ahead of her still. What I mean?
Of course.
So, but crowds into both of them, and the thing is with the women's matches, if they like you, they love you.
Yeah.
And we are very fortunate that we also have Brittany Brooks and we have Gypsy Mac, and Zamaya, and then Zoe Serrano's coming back for August. And, so this is awesome for Veronica Haven, who will actually be wrestling tomorrow, because when she's available, because she's gotten pulled a couple times for the ID stuff.
Sure.
But she saw we had a Future Shock, and she needs reps and she needs experience. So she's going to go one-on-one with Taylor York tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Good opportunity for her, and a good opportunity for Taylor York, because, you know, she's another one who struggled early, really started progressing. And honestly, at that last women's show at the HyperX where she was at, it was rough going for a lot of them. So, you know, and the only way you're going to get better is keep working.
Right. Right. And, you know, and both, I think, you know, Veronica and Taylor have successfully been able to build their brand on the social media while learning the craft, you know. A lot of people, it goes the other way, where they pick up the craft very quickly, and but they just do not know how to build a character, build a following, and you know, it's that, you know, it's that catch of I'm a good wrestler, but I'm not getting attention. And here it's, I can get attention, but now I got to make myself, you know, even better in the ring. And both of them have done a phenomenal job in, you know, getting farther along within the last couple of years than, you know, you probably could imagine 2 years ago.
Yeah. And, you know, their development was different. You know, Taylor York has been in a really good situation because she's at PCW where there's tons of talent that they have at training, where until Veronica Haven came to FSW, she had very little training whatsoever. Yeah. So she had to kind of weed through things and find her way, and she did the smart thing and went to a place where she could, you know, get that proper training, and coming in on a Monday afternoon and working with Brittany and working with Chris Bay and working with all the talented people we had. So she, imagine if she was a Vegas wrestler who started with us, where would she be right now? So, you know, she's got a lot to make up for. But I'll tell you what, she puts in the work. Everybody you see talking to her, she's got her little book and she asks questions, and she's always trying to improve, which again, men, women, it doesn't matter. Not everybody's always looking to improve.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good that's a very good observation. When you look at you know, you're kind of talking about Liberty Mayhem and the stories. How did Fox and AJ, do you think, deliver in terms of, you know, this is something that had been building for about a half a year or so, you know?
You know, it seemed like a falling out that came out of nowhere, per se. They were tag team champions, an injury, they lost the belts, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, talking with them when they were looking to come back, it really, you know, 100%, 1,000%, they really seem to have no interest in teaming anymore. Yeah. Which I, you know, I kind of took it like, okay, you know, we got a good tag teams. You know, it really seems weird that they are so adamant about doing their own thing. And then they got lopped into these, you know, a couple of, you know, scramble matches, and then they kind of made up, and then they kind of fought again. And, you know, we're hoping that on July 25th, we're coming up with an idea of what kind of match we can have that maybe ends it all for these two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at the fourth, it was their first singles match.
Right.
So despite the animosity, they were also fighting over a belt at three different shows. You know, there was the four-way with Jordan Oasis and Jade and Cole. when Oasis beat Jaden Cole as the final in the elimination match, where one turn Fox out of nowhere got pinned by AJ, where it looked like they were working together and then they weren't, and who knows. So, you know, we're putting together some ideas for the 25th. You know, we already signed, you know, Matt Vandergrift versus Jay Vidal, who helped Bateman attack Matt before the opening segment at the anniversary show. Yep. We also have, there you go, the heavyweight championship on the line. Luke Curtis won the four-way. And this is pretty much the make or break match. Luke Curtis believes the last one to pin Bodie. So it's going to be interesting to see. And Luke couldn't compete in the ladder match because he got concussed and was knocked out and counted out. Didn't even get pinned in the qualifying match. Right. So, you know, Jaden Cole, he has talked to me about who he was interested in, a former No Limits champion, and trying to test himself against the best. So we'll be announcing that really soon. So he'll definitely be on the card defending his title.
Yep.
So, and now, you know, we're just putting everything together, and probably by the end of this weekend, the entire card, you know, should be set. Zamaya will be on hand. She'll be defending the women's championship. Good chance it could be Maserati.
Sure.
You know, she got the win over Veronica Haven. So that's where we are in that situation. Mariachis are scheduled to be on the show. So, you know, this is going to be something that, you know, we want to get out there because it's only a couple weeks away. And being that it's my birthday bash, we're pretty much knocking $10-15 off the price of admission. So for our regulars, if you buy in advance instead of or if you go through Eventbrite, where it's generally $45 plus fees, we're doing $30 out the door. So $30 for front row, $35 for the stage, and we're doing, you know, a few dollars off. So you're paying $20 GAs at the FSW Arena, and now you're getting $20 GA at the HyperX.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably don't have to complain too much about the parking situation.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you can get some food and beverage and enjoy yourself in a nice air-conditioned arena.
Yeah. You know, it's 1,000%. You know, it's like it's going to be great atmosphere, great video walls. It's like, you know, can't beat the venue. And you're basically paying FSW arena prices to go to the HyperX.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And you don't even have to bring me a present. You know, it's highly recommended, but, you know, you don't have to.
Their presence is just the present.
You know, that, I guess that's it. The presence is the presence. that would count as a present to me that you show up and bought a ticket to our event.
There you go. You know, when you look at having to shape a card this quickly. You know, even though we can say, well, yeah, of course, it's almost a month between the last HyperX and this one, with all the, you know, with all the movement that goes on with, you know, having a show on the 4th, having a feature shack on the 11th, kind of getting a breath for a second, and then having the show on the 25th, you know, that's essentially what, 4 out of 6 weeks or 5 out of 7 weeks of, you know, shows being run. You know, how does it weigh on you to still have to formulate everything for the HyperX and still make it feel special enough for the fans to, you know, not want to, let's say, miss this one, because there's a lot going on, of course, being the end of July. A lot of people might be out of town with, you know, family vacations. Kids are getting ready to start going back to school. And then you have Survival of the Fittest coming up in August, which, you know, if you start weighing out, you know, how do you go, okay, what do we do to make sure that we're giving enough of an anticipation to make people, and we see how it is on the day of the shows too, where a lot of people will, you know, all of a sudden the door will go, a lot more ticket sales at the door with the walk-ups now, which is kind of, you know, I'm sure nerve-wracking, but amazing to see. So how do you do that? How do you, you know, focus on getting that to make sure that, hey, you know, you don't want to miss this, because if you miss this, you might miss something special.
Well, it's extremely difficult because, you know, as we stated in the past, you know, at the Silverton or at Sam's Town back in the day, everything was based off, okay, the beginning of the year, we start off January, and we would do No Escape. And when Ring of Honor was around and things like that, March became the Mecca.
Right.
Okay. Then we had late May, early June became the anniversary. And then August was Survival of the Fittest. Then we had 2 months off, and November ended the year with Luck of the Draw, which was the Rumble. So those are our shows.
Yeah.
Now with the HyperX, we started January, okay? And we did New Year's Resolution, a show that we would do with the school, hopefully get 120 to 150 people. And, oh, shit, we're going to be on the Strip in a casino. And then we had well over 400 people who came out and supported, because it was the very first FSW show on the Las Vegas Strip. It was the first regular independent wrestling show, period. And we got to, and you know, we need to kill it. And our fans came out fully supported. Then we ended up taking off February, and then March, we proceeded to have a show that did pretty well, not as well as the January show, of course, because it was the first, but we did really well, also knowing that in April we were going to have the Mecca and Natural Born Killers, and we were going to run a whole bunch of shows because it was Mania Week.
Right.
All right, we're good there. But now we're bouncing back, and we have a show in May before the anniversary in June. And it's like, okay, we were not forced, but with Mark, the CEO, leaving, he was like, hey, I need dates. Nobody was looking into everything, and all of a sudden I booked EDC weekend instead of the week after.
Right.
And we barely made the food and drink minimum, which we did, but it was the lightest casino show we ever had, which I thought had a solid card.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of things that were going on. And then we bounced back strong with the anniversary, which we always do well. And, you know, we sold a lot of tickets the week of. You know, yeah, we were like, oh, I'm a little worried, you know. But we did really good numbers. So now it's like, okay, well, normally we'd have the build to Survival of the Fittest. But guess what? We have now July to do that. And we that's why we did the Liberty Mayhem show. Because Future Shock, even though it's 2 weeks in a row, it's family and friends, and it's totally marketed different. So we're not that concerned.
Right.
And moving forward, after the July 25th show at HyperX, August 8th is going to be the only show between two HyperX shows. So we're not going to do another show. So now it's a little more difficult because we're trying to build something without a high octane type show at the FSW arena. So what do you do? Well, initially, hey, the sell for July was going to be Zoe Serrano makes her return. But right, then she got an offer for a really good deal to go to Europe. So we had to move her to August, which we knew we were going to do pretty well on anyway. But the idea is, on these shows, to bring back familiar faces, to put together, you know, guys we haven't seen. And that's why I'm on the phone with the Limelights and the Hammerstones, you know, and trying to get guys that had great runs in FSW and maybe we haven't seen for a while, and trying to be like, oh, cool, this guy's coming back, or, you know, numerous things like, hey, we love our tag team division, but man, talked with Hammerstone and he loves the idea of the Gods of War, Hammerstone and Graves coming back. And I'd be interested to watch Mariachi Montana versus Hammerstone and Graves,
yeah,
or Tito and Che. And now all of a sudden that would be a show that maybe, even though it's not considered one of our big five, if it was at the FSW arena, I couldn't afford Tito and Che or Hammerstone and Graves. But at the casino show where we have a bigger budget for it, and, you know, all of a sudden now we can make that match happen. So, you know, instead of seeing the Mariachis wrestle maybe some young tag team, they got, hey, they're taking on former tag team champions.
Right.
Yeah. And the Gods of War and Hammerstone's back and everybody loves Graves. So, shit, that's a match I'm interested in seeing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it benefits the, you know, the Mariachis too, which is always.
Well, right. And, you know, and you're trying to do that. And that's what you generally are doing the school shows for. Get them experience, get them reps, things like that. But now we have to cater to our fan base who have to now drive to the strip and maybe pay for parking and maybe pay an extra 15, 20 bucks for a ticket every single month instead of every 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work. And it's like every day I got my notepad and it's like I got sheets and sheets and it's like I'm already writing into Survival of the Fittest and where are we going and what's going on and what's happening. And, oh, my God, you know, Robbie turned on his brother, you know, different crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, a lot happened. And trying to figure everything out when you're trying to do eight matches and you got a heavyweight champion, a Nevada State champion, a No Limits champion, a women's champion, a tag team champion, a heated feud with AJ and Fox, you're at six. Yeah. And it's like, okay, oh, we got Matt Vandergriff back and now he's wrestling Jay Vidal. And I can announce it right now. We're talking about matches. Bret the Threat, Nevada State Championship match on July 25th. He's taking on a former No Limits champion and a former two-time heavyweight champion, him and Ice Williams.
Nice.
And maybe the build isn't there for that yet, but the fact of the matter is, oh, shit, it's Ice Williams.
Yeah.
Going after a singles, the you know, the only singles title that he hasn't won in FSW. Right.
And that's also a real fresh matchup, too.
Yeah.
We really haven't seen
Bret. I believe they might have wrestled at a Future Shock a while back when Bret was very young. And it was, if I remember correctly, it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know, now also, you know, with the situation between the faction and the MK Army, you know, he's got to look behind his back. And then you still got the Fight Club. So there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, on the 25th, right now there's, you know, no spot for the former Nevada State champion, Song Lu. And, hey, who wouldn't want to see Mariachi Montana on the 25th defend against the former tag champions who kind of had to wrestle against each other, TBD?
Yeah.
You know, so we have in the back pocket, man, some marquee matchups that, you know, Shogun's been kind of floating around. And now that Song Lu is no longer the Nevada State champion, man, if you're trying to make dream matches and trying to see something really cool, wow, Gods of War versus TBD versus the Mariachis, on the 25th? I don't know. And I'm offering a $45 ticket plus fees if you went through Eventbrite for $52 for $30 to see that match. Wow. How do I not buy the ticket?
Yeah. You might actually see the ring explode at that point, too.
You know, and then maybe we make it a four-way. Or at Survival of the Fittest, instead of maybe doing, you know, a four-team tag teams of, you know, a Survivor Series type match. Well, maybe that's where it's a four-way elimination.
Yeah.
With all where the match features all former champions.
Yeah.
You know, we talked with Royce. We use Royce. Unfortunately, Jarrell's kind of retired. But, man, to get the former 1%, TBD, and Gods of War in a four-way against the Mariachis, man, that's in an elimination match? And they got to survive that? That's Survival of the Fittest, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking a lot of beef, man.
You know, where's Jack Manley, the Whirlwind Gentleman, one night only? Somebody has to, like, go into the mountains of Alaska.
Well, I think, you know what, fair enough. There's an interesting tag team right there. We put Royce and Remy together.
Another one is, Clutch and Sugar Brown, the Real Money Brothers.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Clutch has been killing it. Former AWF champion. He finally lost the championship to our own Gabe Rocha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's really turning a lot of heads. You know, we were very fortunate to get him early and kind of locked him in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's pretty exciting. And just seeing what's going on over there in Arizona and kind of the parallel universe between what's happening here and what's happening there. It's pretty sweet. It's, you know, just kind of crazy to think what we go back, what, 5 years, 6 years or so, right at the end of the pandemic. And said, you know, Arizona was so quiet forever. You know, it had a little bit, but now, you know, they're drawing and these guys are getting better and better. And the training is top notch.
Arizona was a dead zone for wrestling for many years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they got a bunch of companies that seem to draw very well, and they got some good talent, you know, outside of just PCW.
Yeah.
You know, and they had that crew that, you know, Brittany came out AWF, and then, you know, so, and Gabe Rocha.
Yep.
And a few others. And then, you know, PCW, of course, you know, they've gotten their crew, and they've been a pipeline for us from Devin Reno after, and Class through Hammerstone and Graves. And even now with the Chingon Cartel to where, and Zamaya, who, you know, from day one, and Koa. And, you know, you got Saturn from the other part of, I guess, AWF, where he got trained, I assume. I don't know. But he's not from the PCW crew.
Right.
And I laugh because I basically say, you know, see the best of Arizona fight each other only in Vegas. Because, you know, they you know, you ain't working PCW and AWF. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, indeed, you're absolutely right. It's and it's kind of nice that you know, if you are a fan of, you know, your local companies in Arizona, but can't see those guys go against each other, you know, you just tune into it on title match and go, shit, I get to see
Koa and Saturn, you know, polar, you know, they're from enemy camps in Arizona, or working in the MK Army together.
Right. It took a guy from Utah to get two rival Arizona guys together in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we're the hotbed.
Right. It's phenomenal to see. when you look at Future Shock, then, since that is coming up on Saturday, what do we expect for Future Shock outside of Veronica and Taylor York? What else is on tap so far?
Well, we got the new champion, Jeffrey Excellence, is going to go one-on-one with Ricky Tenacious. Nice. Then we got a solid tag team match. We got the First Responders versus the Crusade versus Live Danger. So back-to-back, Live Danger will be on hand. And you know, that's a match that could be on any show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, the Asylum, you know, they fought hard against the Faction. They're going to have a six-man tag against two members of the Young Guns or whatever name they're using this time, the Solution and Kevin Demery. They're going to be in the match. We're looking for a third in there. Also, what do we got? Here we go. Where's the Future Shock list? Future Shock. 7-Eleven, yeah. Young Money, they return. They're going to be taking on a new team that, you know, they're two individuals who came from Texas, Jackpot J-Rock, who I've been liking what we see, and Exility Josh, who one of our students, who's been pretty impressive. And I like the way they do things, and I'm giving them an opportunity as a tag team. I think they could be an exciting young tag team, and who better than the wrestler Young Money?
Yeah.
Oh, in that one. So then we also got a guy highly respected in San Diego, Jake Redondo, put over by many, many people. And no rest for the wicked. He's going to wrestle Oliver Kanaday. And Oliver, who feels, you know, not happy about the what's going on, and he wants another title shot. But, you know, it is what it is. Jacob East returns. He had gotten hurt. He's taking on Adrian Rain in a matchup. So, you know, we're setting up, and then there's going to be a probably a fatal four-way with a few of the guys that are left. There's another guy out of San Diego. He came to Vegas for the month, and he's training. And the first day he was seen, Sharp hit me up because he was running the class with TJ. We did the TV class on Wednesday, and he was like, you need to put him on the show, this kid Joey Lancaster, who he works over at that Primal Pro where, you know, J2 stole our design of the FSW facility with the posters and everything. You swear it's like looking at a mirror of our stuff. Even the ring, it's like orange and black. I'm like, what the hell? But he comes out of there, and it looks like it right now, it looks like it's going to be Joey Lancaster versus Brandon G versus Davion versus Trademark. And, and Davion had a very solid showing against Jaden Cole. So, you know, and they're coming out of the woodwork. You know, Brandon G, a year ago today, defeated a young Jaden Cole.
Yeah.
So I know Jaden Cole's on a mission to basically get those wins back when he got a little taken advantage of as a youngster.
Right.
So Brandon G's in a position where maybe a good showing here gets him a title shot. Davion, a good showing here, maybe gets a title shot. Yeah. So, you know, because the Future Shock Championship generally will be defended on every Future Shock.
Sure.
So it's like the TV title. So it may not be on all the high octanes, and it might be on, you know, some of the HyperX shows, but the idea is it will be on Future Shock.
Right. Which, you know, it should be, and I think you know, it's a great person to hold it right now, because you know that he's willing to get in the ring and defend it every time a Future Shock comes around. So, you know, that's one of the cool things about this new title, raising the bar for everyone on that show to, you know, to try to take down Jeffrey is pretty sweet. I think that's going to be great. It's going to be very good to see, how he, you know, deals with Ricky, who, if you want to talk about ring savvy veterans and, you know, someone who really, I'm sure he would love to have a championship belt and bring it to karaoke and around town and sing. And
yeah,
he might even show up to his own promotion with the belt.
You never know. He might go wrestle a wrestling match without a wrestling ring in it.
The he's an innovator. What can we say? Yes. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, again, solid card for, you know, for these guys to get these opportunities. And that's a 5 p.m. show, of course, this Saturday, July 11th. You know, jumping back to Mayhem, we didn't talk about Koa and C4, man. I thought that was a pretty solid match, man.
Yeah, you know, Koa's the guy. I've said it a million times. Like, he was somebody that used to come around and be like, yeah, you know. But he's outshined a lot of the other guys that were there, you know. They're aces, you know, the PCW aces who kind of washed out, and Koa just put in the work. But you can, and again, and we've talked about it a million times, you know, it's putting in the work. It's having the passion, and, you know, Koa, and that's what I respected, was willing to do the little things. He was willing to come down and not have a match, but be involved, because we were telling the story with the MK Army, but there just wasn't a match for him. Hey, is it cool if you drive 5.5 hours back and forth to not even get a match?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To maybe just stand behind MK and talk about the future or get involved in something, but not even have to get to work a match, because, you know, he's now at the point where he's not that young green kid. Hey, is there, you know, we're here to help, yet we sit in the back and do absolutely nothing. We're just hoping that there's a pre-show match that you're going to give us, but we're not going to put forth any effort in doing anything, because that's what a lot of the younger guys do. Oh, yeah, we want to come by and help. No, you don't. You want to come by and hope I pick you for a match. And it's like, sorry, guys, 90% of the time, all our matches are set. So, yeah, it's possible I might have a match here or somebody called out or whatever, but – don't ever come to our show thinking that there might be a spot for you, because, you know, 1 out of 10 shows, there might be a spot for you. And there's definitely no spots for you when you're coming to the HyperX and you're not going to walk into anything.
Right.
You know, Future Shock. Yeah. Because a lot of times the pre-show isn't set. And if I got people there, because I'll leave it open. I'll leave it open because there's, you know, hey, we got Future Shock this date. And if you're not available, it's your job to kind of let me know. But if you don't mention you're available, why do I think you're available?
Right.
It's a simple process. I'm available. I'll be there. So I expect you to be there. So now if you don't show up because I posted 6 or 7 matches and you weren't one of them, I'm making sure you show up on time for call time. I'm making sure you show up, even though you're not sure that you're going to be there, because you're still a fucking student who is nowhere near the main roster. You're not sniffing nothing. So you better show up and put in the work. So if you don't put in the work, I'm not giving you the spot. Let's make sure you're worthy of that spot. So so sometimes there's going to be a couple spots open. And if there's good enough people, well then, okay, I'll give you a spot.
Yeah. Yeah, as it should be, you know. And I think that, you know, that's the thing. And the other thing too is the fascinating thing is always, man, if you're a student of the FSW school and you're not showing up and these other guys from Arizona are making that trip, or from San Diego or from Northern California, that you should be embarrassed.
Yeah. You know, Matthias hits me up every week. Hey, I would love to get, yeah, bro. I understand you'd love to get on the HyperX shows, but it's not that easy. Like Chingon Cartel, they got something going on with PCW. Hey, anything on the 25th? Bro, I told you, no. We can't set something up if you're not on the shows. You guys, there's those borderline guys like Chingon Cartel, more than good enough. Obviously, they wrestled for the tag titles of HyperX, but they got to be around because I have 8 tag teams. There's not just a random match for guys who I haven't seen in 2 months to just be on a HyperX show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, I think, a give and take too, right? Because at the same time, it's good they're actually trying to be a little proactive in at least saying, well, hey, I'm available, just kind of feeling. But at the same time, yeah, if you could be more available, then could you imagine where you might be in a year? You know, it's you got to kind of see where you want to put all your.
You know, it's like I'm not going to give you a spot and not put Dave Mazzani and C4, the first responders who are over and sell a bunch of tickets and they're around, but I'm not going to put them on the card.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that that's the other thing, too, that you start to kind of forget is that, you know, some of the growth of the talent, when you're growing, at least 3 or 4 other tag teams or other wrestlers are growing at the same pace that you're growing. So you really have to.
Well hopefully. There's some that, that kind of peter out. Once they get on a show, they think they don't have to work anymore. Like, again, I see good people doing well on Future Shock that, wow, okay, I was at the school Monday. I was at the school Tuesday. I was at the school Wednesday. And I didn't see a lot of them. We had a TV class. We had a good turnout. We didn't have an unbelievable turnout. Like, you know, TJP, you know, we talked. He's going to start doing some advanced work with some of the advanced guys because, you know, there's that pay structure of what you're paying to train. And when you're on the main roster, you're paying literally a very small fee or you're not paying anything.
Right.
And it's like, well, I'm not paying TJP to train you who aren't paying a dime to be here. Right. You know, and it's like but it's also gets a little frustrating because of the Chris Bays, they want to teach people that, you know, that are getting there. And it's hard a lot of times because of the situation in Vegas to where all of a sudden there's a bunch of advanced guys in a class with a bunch of beginner guys. So working with something with TJ during the day that we're going to limit it to 5 advanced guys. And he's going to run because can't really do a one-on-one. Nobody's paying, you know, a private class one-on-one fee with TJ. It ain't $20. You know, you got to pay for that. So, you know, we're looking at doing limited to 5, and he might do it a couple days a week, but like $20 a pop. And you get a 90-minute, 2-hour class, and you get to work on your things that you're looking to better yourself with. You know, and it also gets the juices flowing for TJ because he wants to be able to teach guys. But when you have a class filled with beginners, there's only so much you can teach.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something that's going to, you know, benefit everybody to where now you get to train kind of like what Chris Bay does, like on a Monday afternoon and you see a bunch, you know, Bodie's there now and Jaden Cole's there and Fox and Xander or whatever, AJ. And there's a whole bunch of people. Brian Cage shows up and Zoe shows up. And now all of a sudden you're getting in the ring with world-class professionals.
Yep.
You know, you're not in a mix to where you just spend 30 minutes trying to do roles or do something that the beginner kid who's been doing it for 2 weeks, you're sitting there for 30 minutes instead of 5 minutes because you want to make sure everybody's getting it right.
Yeah.
You know, because again, if the advanced guy doesn't come in, it's not affecting me in any way. But they also want to get that time in. And that's why there's plenty of times Matt Vandegrift and Jay Vidal when they did and Shogun and Hero. They, hey, can we get the key? It's like, yeah, come by the house. And they'll use the place for an hour or two because they can get their own work in.
Yeah.
Ice, Bodie, you know, all the guys. And you see the ones who who really have the hunger for it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, that's, and that's how it should be. You know, even back in the day in UPW, you know, the top guys, the advanced guys were not in the lower session classes. They were in a totally different facility with Chris Daniels, you know, and that was also to respect Chris's time, right? So, you know, that's like, it makes sense. You want those guys who are at that level and have that skill to be able to advance guys who are on that verge. And I think that that's amazing that TJP is wanting to work with those guys too, which is fantastic. And everyone who gets a chance should take advantage of that.
You know, and again, we were very fortunate. The timing was perfect because I tried to get TJP in there a lot, but he was always so much in Japan.
Yeah.
And it just so happens, like, basically the month that he started doing much more stuff with AAA and steering away from New Japan was when Kenny moved. And it was like this week, and it was like holding off a couple of weeks because Kenny ended up having to hold off a little before he moved. You right. know what I mean? So yeah. where it was is, you know, how smooth the transition is that? You have Kenny King 1 week and TJP the next.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, different philosophies. So you're learning some yeah. different stuff, but two guys that, you know, are as good as it can get in the ring.
Yeah.
And TJ can tell you from when, you know, he was 15 years old wrestling shows. You know, he was yeah. Bodie before Bodie.
Right. Right. And, you know, and again, there's only a percentage of people who have had the experience over at the Performance Center, at NXT, or, you know, when it was, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling.
TJP's probably worked every major company in the world. New Japan, yeah. TNA, Ring yeah. of Honor when it was Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
WWE. Like, I guess I'm pretty sure the only thing he didn't work was AEW.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I mean, again, that translation of, you know, being able to tell you not only what it takes, you know, for, you know, you're just your basic and ring stuff, but also, you know, finding cameras and finding, you know, those beats and how it plays out, and, you know, also your promos, and understanding your character. And then the other stuff, which is, you know, what are you supposed to do? You know, I heard Sepha was really helpful to Jeff Cobb when Jeff got to WWE. Sepha's the one who said, hey, you need to talk to this person and that person when you come through Gorilla. You know, these are the procedures. These are the things you got to do. And a lot of people won't take that time to do that for other people. And to learn that from these guys who are right here, take advantage of that, man.
And that's the biggest issue to me is, like, people who don't, that there's so many who, I don't know if it's they think they know it all more so than, you know, I can't really pinpoint it. When there's so much opportunity to pick somebody's brain, you know, why aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, especially too. I mean, there, in every single company, there are different unknowns. You know, so it's great to have those people that, you know, if you do get a call to, you know, come into AEW, you know, to do a one-off, quick text, you know, hey, I got to go in. What should I do? What should I expect? You know, it's great to know, you know, from going to TNA and getting the opportunity. What should I do? What should I expect? And that's invaluable. that's really invaluable, and it's building those relationships with, you know, also, you know, they are trainers and coaches, but they are colleagues too, because you never know when you're going to end up in the ring with them too. You know, they're still active.
Yeah. And not only active, but they're still at the top of their game. You know, there's a difference between having, you know, a trainer. It's like Rip Rogers ain't at the top of his game anymore. You know, he's 70 something years old. But
Rip might tell you otherwise, Joe.
Oh, no, he definitely would tell you otherwise. But, you know, TJP's been doing it for 20 years and he's only 35.
Right. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. All right. So, again, Future Shock, we know it's coming up this Saturday, 11th at 5 p.m.
Yeah, all and tickets is $20.
$20. Look at that. And then July 25th, it is a 7 o'clock show on that Saturday at the HyperX Arena, Capital Punishment. And again, we're going to get to see Bodhi defend that title against Luke Curtis. And, you know, Bodhi and Luke have, you know, they've been at it pretty hard. So it's that's going to be a pretty, you know, interesting match for Bodhi to kind of, you know, get things going here. Like, the pressure's on, man. And
you know how many people are in line and want to be in line and have called me up about wanting an opportunity?
Yeah. You know, and he's calling out people.
Yeah. You know, we got ID talent that's looking to come in. We have AEW guys that are looking to come in.
Yeah.
You know, they like what they see with Bodhi. A lot of guys just want to love to have a match with him.
Yep. And then you're going to get one hell of a hard-hitting match. Matt and Jay, again.
The winner of that match, he's just as capable of being in a match, because we know we've seen matches with that. Matt Vandergriff basically is kind of supposed to have a title match.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares who it is. Again, you know, he may love Bodhi, but he wants to be the heavyweight champion, as does Jay Vidal, as does, you know, hopefully every single person on the roster hopes to be.
Right. Right. And it's fun with Jay and Matt's history. It's just, talk about two guys who have a real kind of a parallel that kind of veer off in two different directions, but kind of keep coming back towards each other, which.
Well, yeah. And then they both left to go to Florida to change their direction, and then ended back in Vegas. And now Jay's back in Florida, but he's always in Vegas.
Yeah.
And these guys, you know, these were the guys that were, you know, drudging along with Damian Drake and Zoe and everybody, you know, training at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that you can really see that Bateman has the control of Jay Vidal, because Matt Vandergriff was one of Jay Vidal's closest friends.
Yeah.
And now it seems like Jay Vidal has no friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Jay doesn't care. Because I think there's other things that are more important to him now.
As long as Jay has Harold, he's fine.
Oh, man.
Bob Sampson coming all the way, the biggest Miami Dolphin fan. He comes in from Florida. And he hit me up. He's like, before football season comes, I know I can't get to FSW as much. And, you know, unless Miami's playing, like he's already telling me, hey, Miami's playing the Raiders of the Legion this date. Maybe we have a show. So I forgot the date, but yeah, I got to see, you know, even if it's at the school to do an arena show, since, you know, he'll be here on that Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, this guy flies himself in just because he loves FSW.
Yeah. Hey, you know, maybe you can get that FSW Raiders connection going and get a a tailgate kickoff FSW show before a Raiders game.
Or halftime extravaganza.
The FSW wrestlers and up with people.
Whatever they want. Their wishes are commands.
Final words as we wrap up this week, Joe.
Yeah, come check it out. You know, Future Shock, see some great young talent. We also got some, really good talent from San Diego coming in. So, again, you're going to see some solid matches because, you know, the guys, the mainstays from Future Shock, you had seen 3 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago, you know, they're only getting better, you know.
Yeah.
And they're pushing the FSW main roster. That's where they want to be. They want to be on every show possible. So, you know, their job's to go out there and get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, again, it's, you know, you're a wrestling fan. If you're, you know, if you haven't been keeping up with FSW, it's a great time to, you know, get to come out and see some of these younger guys because this is what is shaping, again, the future of the future stars. It's almost the future stars.
That's what we call them, the future stars of wrestling.
The FSW. That's a mouthful right there, man. Oh, man. But, yeah, you know, come on out. Enjoy your Saturday. And, hey, 5 o'clock start. You also get to enjoy the rest of the evening if you have other places to go. So
yeah, you know, you can go watch some leftover fireworks from people who didn't, you know, blow their load.
Well, we hope that everyone listening blew their load this week. And
yes.
Next time, everybody, happy wrestling.